Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arscast on arseblog.com in association, as always, with www.oleole.com, the football social networking site. Due for a relaunch, loads of cool stuff coming up within the next week, so do check it out. That's www.oleole.com. Not really sure how long this Arscast is going to be, because I've got, as I mentioned on the blog yesterday, I have got an earache, and this earache is an absolute fucking cunt of a thing. It's getting worse throughout the day, so I had to go to the doctor, which is a pain in the fucking hole, because here you have to go pay a doctor odd 60 euros and say, I've got an ear infection, and she'll say, yes, you have an ear infection, and I say, I told you that, I just want the prescription for some antibiotics. See, the great thing about living in Spain, apart from the weather, and the, you know, semi-naked chicks on the beach, and the cheap beer, and the ease at which you could go out at night and find fantastic food and restaurants and all that kind of stuff, now, it was the fact that you could go into a pharmacy and you said, I've got an ear infection. My ear is really, really painful. Can you give me some, you know, antibiotics? And they'll go, here you go. That's 3 cents, whatever it was. But here, no, it's fucking 80 euros. To go to the doctor and, you know, whatever, pay the pharmacy for the prescription. So anyway, I've got an earache, so I'm grumpy. And my voice, as you can hear, is not quite recovered from the weekend. The weekend, I went to London on Friday to go over to the Reading game. And we had our Arseblog 5-a-side tournament on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. The green team went over and of course, being the hospitable guests that we are, you know, we drank. Quite a lot on the Friday evening. Well, I certainly did. I know a couple of the others did too. We drank a good amount. And that, you know, as we know, is not ideal preparation for playing football the next day. It's certainly not ideal preparation for playing football at 9 o'clock the next day. What's also not ideal preparation is not really reading the rules. Or, well, sort of reading them and then forgetting them. See, there was this rule that you're not allowed to step inside the box. And if you do, it's a penalty. We don't play that rule here in proper football land. We don't. But, you know, I'm casting no aspersions. I'm just saying that it was our fault for not really paying too much attention to it. However, you would have thought that after, you know, the first game, when we gave away 2 penalties for it, we'd have learned. But no, consistently throughout the tournament, we gave away penalties for encroachment into the box. I know for some of us it's the first time we've been in a box in quite some time, but that's really no excuse. However, it was tremendous good fun. Even though the green team came last, we lost 2 penalty shootouts. Did I miss a penalty? No, I didn't. Nor am I the kind of man that would point fingers at the chokers who did. So I won't continue going on and on about it. The white team won. Congratulations to them. But the green team will be back next year to defend our wooden spoon. And next year, we will drink in moderation the night before the event. I think that's the idea. I've got to say a big thanks to Arser and former West Antone for all his organization, to Toff for his camera work, which was Spielberg-esque. I can't say any more. And our referee and timekeeper and adjudicator, Sepp Kunter, otherwise known as Dublin Gunner. Well done, boys. It was a fantastic day out. Great to see everybody in the Tollington afterwards. There was loads there. And, you know, it was, as always, after a win, an Arsenal win, can you believe it was fantastic against Reading, you know, to drink with you people is just a wonderful thing, I have to say. What's not so much a wonderful thing is drinking until 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I think, what time did we get to the pub after the game? 2:30, 3:00 or something? And the drinking started. And there was an enormous group of people. And then I think we were down to about 18 when we left at about 6 to go get some food. And then, you know, a few more fell by the wayside and a few more fell by the wayside. And there was only me and one left walking up Upper Street at about 3 o'clock in the morning after being in some salsa place. There was salsa dancing going on as well, and then some other place. We lost the Scandies, and then we went to some other place, which I don't really remember, apart from the fact that we were ordering rum and sitting in very comfortable armchairs, which is nice when you're drinking. Then we went and got some kind of kebab, and then there was only me left all on my own. So my voice hasn't quite recovered just at this moment in time. I'm hoping maybe to do a demo where I could do some, you know, film trailers or something like that. I could, you know, narrate a biopic of Barry White, perhaps. I don't know, but it's certainly croaky and stuff, anyway. So there you go. But anyway, a fantastic weekend. It did fuck me up completely this week, but sure, there you go. I'm an old man now. These things take a while to get over. I haven't told you what's coming up on this week's show yet, so I might as well do that now. In a minute, I'll be talking to the man from East Lower about Reading, about Chleb and Flamini and transfers and Van Persie and all kinds of things. I'm sure the man in the bar has got some kind of a player history. I'm nearly positive on that. Bouet is here and some other bits and pieces as well. I haven't had a chance really to do too much today because I've just been sort of sitting here wondering why those bees are in my ear. It's like bees in my ear. And they're stinging me in my ear. And then they're opening up the sting bits and they're getting out these like glass bottles of pain juice and injecting me in the stingy bits with pain juice. Motherfucking bees. I hate bees. I once swallowed a bee. Well, I didn't swallow it. I swallowed half of it. I think it was its head. Seriously, I was cycling along when I was a kid and I was wee, I don't know, I was 10 years of age and whatever. I must have caught up to a slow-flying bumblebee and its stingy bit went right into my lip. And then I was like, and trying to take it out, and it was, and I swallowed its head, and I was trying to pull the string out. Seriously, I looked like fucking one of those stupid actresses that gets that collagen shit in their lips. But worse, I was sitting there for fucking hours going, I couldn't try and talk. So that's why I hate bees, by Irish blogger, age 36. I suppose we'll go and talk to the man from East Lower, will we? Yes, we will. Okay, man from East Lower, hello to you, sir.
Hello to you as well.
Nice to get back to winning ways against Reading on Saturday. It seemed like it had been an age since we won a game.
Well, I think it had been an age, a footballing age at home. Yeah, it'd been 2 months, so it was nice. It was very nice indeed. I thought we played pretty well, although I didn't think Reading were all that, to be honest. So, but nevertheless, I thought we played pretty well without killing it off, which is a classic Arsenal trait anyway. But no, it was good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Nice to see Theo Walcott. Arsene Wenger said it was his most complete game as an Arsenal player. Would you go along with that?
I think it was his most complete 90 minutes. Yeah, I think it was. He was really good. I mean, you know, I think I said a while ago myself that he's going to have to play a string of games and he'll make mistakes and he won't look very good in some of them and he won't look very good in parts of games and he might look good in other parts, but ultimately you don't ever get to kind of go to that next bit where, which I think he needs to go to. I think he's got to play these games. So yeah, he was great. I thought he was really good.
Robin Van Persie could have had a couple of goals, I suppose. He had a good chance and hit the bar and post with one free kick. Maybe he hasn't quite had the impact that we would have liked since he came back from his injury. He's quoted today as saying that Arsenal is a team that everybody likes. He says, everyone says, what a fantastic team. We've won a lot of respect. We may not have won trophies, but we've won a lot of respect. Is there a danger? Now, he does, in fairness to him, I'm not going to misquote him or anything, say we do have to add trophies to this now, that's it. But is there a little danger that this team is maybe focused a little too much on style and not enough on substance?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's true, to be honest. I think ultimately Wenger wants to win, but do it in, you know, by playing great football, and maybe he hasn't quite got that balance right at the moment. So no, I mean, I don't think that there's an emphasis on the style over substance. I think ultimately, you know, he's no fool, Wenger. He can't just play brilliant football forever and never win us a trophy. So I think he's well aware of that. And I think the fact is, this year we were brilliant for a while. And we tailed off, and there are lots of reasons for that. But I'd rather challenge like we did and play some great football. And you know, but having said that, I'd also like to win. So next season, I think Wenger has to be a bit pragmatic and play as good as he, you know, as nice football as he can. But at the same time, give us a bit of an extra steel, I think.
All right. Does that come down necessarily to adding new players to the squad or changing the style of play somewhat? Or how does he go about bringing this team to the next step? Because we have to say that there's been an improvement since last season. So what does he need to do, you know, to bring us on next year and make silverware a reality?
Well, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
You've got 30 seconds to answer, buddy.
All right, well, okay. Look, like you said, we played better this year than last. True, that's definitely true. And we need to make a kind of equivalent jump again next season, and that might, I think that definitely involves some new players. I think it involves, we've already got a bit more experience, so that's good. And maybe, you know, maybe it involves a bit of tinkering with the system from time to time. But having said that, I think we were a bit better balanced that way anyway this year. I think with Adebayor, we weren't so reliant on trying to pass it through the middle. So that's your 30 seconds. I think ultimately we need to make a similar improvement next year with a few extra players, but nothing wholesale, I would say.
All right. You say nothing wholesale, but obviously there are doubts over three players in particular. Matthew Flamini, who's wanted by AC Milan, Juventus and Bayern Munich. Today, Inter Milan admitted they're interested in Alexander Chleb and his ice cream flavours. And as well, Gilberto is a player that I suppose, while he's been a professional this season, he wants to play football. Given the fact there's doubts over those three players, how do you see the manager's thinking in the transfer market? Obviously, he wants to keep them, but Flamini in particular is looking doubtful.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I have to say, I don't think Leb's looking particularly rosy either. I mean, the whole ice cream scenario turned out to be true by all accounts, didn't it? So I would say both of those are big doubts now. So, yeah, obviously, what I think we needed to add to what we had, add to the squad, you know, without losing any. So obviously, if Wenger thinks he wants to sign two or three players, then it will be five or six players if those players go. So definitely, we've got to try and keep hold of them. But I'm increasingly less confident about both of those two. Gilberto, I think he, you know, there's probably more of a chance of him staying. But I'm a bit worried about the others, I have to say.
If you had to choose one or the other, if I said to you now, choose either Chleb or Flamini, which one would you choose?
That's like saying booze or fags, isn't it? Or something like that. Chleb or Flamini, who would I choose? I think I would retain Flamini on this season's form. But yeah, they're both good players. I mean, I know Chleb doesn't score very much, but he does bring a lot of other stuff to the team. So I don't want either of them to go.
Okay, fair enough. I was on, you know, either or.
But you know, I'm a bit worried, and I do honestly think that one, if not both of them, might at this stage. It looks a bit that way. I mean, all that stuff that Flamini was going on about, I want to concentrate on the season and, you know, and then we'll talk about contracts. What a load of crap. I mean, let's face it, he works about 3 hours a day. How long does it take to say I want X a week and then sign on the line? I think he's been holding out for this a bit. That's the thing that worries me.
Yeah, given the fact that he's been out injured now for, 2 weeks, you know, if he hasn't found time to sign a deal now, I don't think he's ever going to.
But even if he wasn't injured, you know, he's got advisors. How long does it take?
Well, this is true. This is true. I don't know. I want this. We'll give you that. How about we meet in the middle? Okay, what, a win bonus, appearance bonus, blah, 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 blah. There you go. I could do it in 10 minutes, I have to say.
I reckon I could do it in 5.
Yeah. Well, you've always been a bit quicker off the mark than me.
I'm just a bit cheaper as well, maybe.
Well, that could be it too. let's talk about the Derby game on Monday a little bit and looking ahead towards the end of the season. We know that Abu Diaby is not going to play again this season. We know Rosicki is not going to play again this season. Arsene Wenger said that he's looking maybe to rest some of the players who are going to be involved in the European Championships, possibly, you know, to give them as much rest as possible before that. But I suppose the add-on effect is that they won't be quite as knackered when they come back from the tournament itself. Is it a good chance now that Champions League football is guaranteed? Is it a good chance to blood some youngsters? For example, if Chelsea were to win against Manchester United on Saturday, that would make second place almost impossible for us. Do you think that would affect his thinking as well in terms of who he might bring in?
Yeah, I think it probably will. I think realistically, it's third now, and I think he probably knows that. Yeah, you know, barring some calamity, I think it probably is third, and so that will be in his thinking. And I mean, I don't know if he's going on about resting people like Fabregas. Then I don't know who we're going to play in midfield, given we haven't really got anybody else. Maybe he's going to play 8-0 2 or something like that. I don't know, but I think that's. I don't think it's such a bad idea. I think if Chelsea were to lose on Saturday, then that would change things. But I think he's probably just being a bit wise about things. I don't blame him, to be honest.
All right, man from East Lower, we better leave it there. A prediction for the Derby game?
Definitely a win. It's going to be. Look, let's face it. They've won one league game all season, and if we lose to them, then I don't know. I really will despair. So, and I don't think we'll lose. I think we'll win. But I think it'll depend quite a lot on what team he puts out, which will be quite interesting, I suspect.
All right. We'll catch up with you on another Arsecast in the near future. Thanks very much.
Will do. Take care.
Thanks to the man from East Lower, and he will be back on another Arsecast in the near future. Flamini or Hleb? There's a question for you. Flamini or Hleb? If you could choose just one of them, who would you choose? Well, me, Flamini. I have to say, because I think it's probably easier to replace a player like Hleb, a more creative player, with a better creative player. Now, I'm not saying you find somebody who's as skillful on the ball as Hleb, which he is, undeniably brilliant on the ball, the way he finds space and moves around. It's fantastic. But as an attacking threat, end product, we keep going on about it, when you play in the positions he's played in, you know, left or right side of midfield, or as a support striker, you would expect them to score more goals. And I think that ultimately is how you're going to be judged when you play in that position. He scored 3 league goals this season. That's just one more than Philippe Senderos and one less than William Gallas, who are both central defenders. So really, you know, that kind of return isn't great. Flamini, however, I don't see too many midfield players like Flamini around. The ground that he covers, and we've seen it. You've seen the stats this season from the Champions League when they look at, you know, this guy's run 10 kilometres, this guy's run 10 and a half kilometres, and Flamini's running 13. That kind of energy and drive is very difficult to find. As well as that, he's a great talker. He gives you that in every single game that he plays. He's got this, desire to win games. You can see it, the way he G's everyone up around him. I think, sadly, Flamini's leaving, and I think we're going to miss him next season. I think we really are. And people might say we didn't do enough to keep him. I'm sure. Now, the money on offer to Matthew Flamini is very, very, very good indeed. Very good. Because, you know, take into account, for example, Flamini gets 50 grand a week, and maybe he wants supposedly 60 grand a week. That extra 10 grand a week over the course of the contract isn't really going to make that much difference when you are going to have to go out and buy a player to replace him. So you've got to go out then, pay money for a player, pay him a signing on fee, pay him similar wages over the course of the contract. So I don't think this thing is down to money at all. I've said this before, but I think possibly Flamini just wants to go elsewhere. And I think, you know, unless you offered him like ridiculously stupid money, which I would be against, unless you offer him that kind of money, I don't think he's going to stay, which is sad. So Flamini or Hleb becomes academic, unless Hleb leaves as well and goes to Inter Milan. They say they want him. They say he's one of their targets. This is Roberto Mancini talking, though. So maybe Roberto Mancini won't be the man in charge at Inter Milan next season. And all of a sudden, if Mourinho, for example, goes to Inter Milan, will he want Hleb? Will he? I'm not sure that he will. Or, you know, maybe he'll have Hleb thrust upon him. If that's not too terrible an image, Alex Hleb being thrust on Jose Mourinho, or thrusting on... Yeah, well, anyway, we'll see what happens. But those two players, certainly futures are in doubt. We'll go to the bar now. We'll be where the man in the bar has got a player history.
Hello! There you are again now. Sorry for any interruptions in this week's old player history. Me voice is after going, so I sound like a prepubescent teenage boy. One minute I'm up, and the next minute I'm right down here. So that's just the way you're going to have to put up with it. You see that old football during the week? What a load of old shite it was. Oh, Christ. United versus Barcelona. Thought it was going to be a great feast of football. But no, it was a great feast of shite. It was like someone coming out with a great big platter of donkey's bollocks. That's what it was. So much for your attacking expensive football. Christ, at least Ronaldo missed the penalty, though. That made me laugh. Like this. That's the way I laugh when I'm really amused, you see. And then Chelsea versus Liverpool. John Arnarisa. He should change his name, shouldn't he? To John Completely Shit Cunt. That's what I think, anyway. This week on the Old Player History, we're talking about a fella that played at centre-half for Arsenal. He was an Islington boy, so he was. Started his career as a youth, and he made his professional debut on October 17th, 1981. His name was Christopher Anderson White. That's right, Chris White. And he wasn't white at all. That was the hilarious thing about him. He was as black as a black fella. And the whiteness came only from his name. Which, when you think about it, is curious. Because didn't we have a fella called Tommy Black? We did. And he wasn't black at all. He was white. And I'm wondering now, how come some colours are surnames and other colours aren't surnames at all? Like, for example, Chris White, Tommy Black, Andy Gray. Big cunt that he is, but he's got a colour for his surname, doesn't he? Rob Green plays in goal for West Ham. But where's Mickey Red or Trevor Purple or Arnold Yellow? I don't know where those fellas are or who they'd be playing for. Not at all. You don't see Johnny Burnt Umber or Albert Beige, do you? You certainly do not. Anyway, back to Chris White and his wonderfully patchy hair. He played a total of 113 games for Arsenal before he was let go to play indoor football for the New York Express and the Los Angeles Lasers. It's true, that bit, I swear to God. And those of you who bemoan Emmanuel Adebayor playing up front for Arsenal should consider the fact that Chris White was often pressed into service as an emergency striker during the 1985 and 86 season. Now you can see perhaps how your bread is buttered on both sides. I like my bread buttered on both sides, but it makes the plate all sticky. Anyway, nowadays Chris White runs his own recruitment agency. He specialises in getting Japanese people, then selling them on as half-trained ninjas for film extras. It's true.
More from the man in the bar on next week's Arsecast. What a coincidence that he had that kind of husky voice thing going on as well. It must be a bug that's going round. Not that we hang around in the same bars or anything, really. Well, we do, obviously. I go down and record him, but we don't hang around together or anything. Nuh-uh. He doesn't, like, tell me stories and show me poems of when he was a young man or black and white pictures of him in his uniform. It doesn't happen. Don't care what you think. Just doesn't. Right? So don't tell anyone. So what's happening ahead of the game against Derby on Monday night? Monday night football? I don't like it, I have to say. You're waiting all weekend, all week, indeed, for your game. And then your game isn't even on the weekend. Everyone else is playing. Everyone else is having a good time. They're watching their teams. You have to wait all weekend to watch Monday night football. But there you go. That's one of those things. We're going to be missing some players. Obviously, we're used to that now. Matthew Flamini is injured. Bakary Sagna is still injured. Abu Diaby, he's injured. He got pulled a muscle playing for the reserves. And I suppose that's a consequence of a serious injury like he had, the ankle break against Sunderland. And you worry a little bit, I suppose, about Eduardo coming back and then becoming as injury-prone as Diaby has been. Because, you know, he can give anyone a run for his money. Alexander Kleb, he won't play because of his slap on Reading's Graham Murty. I mean, what's the point? If you're going to hit someone, just fucking hit them. Don't slap them. What's he going to do? Get out a white glove and challenge him to a duel or something? Give him a good dig if you really have to. Otherwise, keep your fucking hands down by your sides. And, of course, we'll be without Thomas Rosicki, who will be back next week. Sorry, couldn't keep that up. No sign of Thomas, and you know, I ain't holding my breath on that one at all. We may not have Colo either. There's an interesting thing, because he went off during the Reading game. Not sure how serious his injury is. So we may see Emmanuel Eboué.
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like Al Pacino film. Top 3 Eboué Al Pacino film. Number 1. Devil's Advocate. Eboué loved the spicy guacamole. Number 2. Dog Day Afternoon. If Eboué not footballer, Eboué be bisexual bank robber. Number 3 Eboué Al Pacino film? Scarface. Because first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the women, and then you get the cordless headphone to have the silent disco with the women. Sorry, Eboué having silent disco. You go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
On the right-hand side of defense, right back. And then what's interesting is who plays on the right and left-hand side of midfield, whether we put Van Persie out there or, you know, Walcott could play out there, someone else on the right-hand side, don't know quite who. Maybe we could see some of the younger players come through. Arsene Wenger has spoken about resting some of the players for Euro 2008 or resting them ahead of that to let them recharge their batteries. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who that is. Bentner, Cesc, Galas, Sanya, I suppose, but he's injured anyway. Clichy, maybe. I don't know. So we could see a fairly makeshift team against Derby on Monday night. Still, however makeshift the team is, you would expect them to come away with 3 points against Derby, who are indeed, without question, the worst team to have ever graced, shall we say, the Premier League. Bottom of the table with 11 points, goal difference of something like minus 65. If we don't get 3 points there, as the man from East Lower said, well, then we can start to despair somewhat. But you have to be confident. So maybe some Monday evening pints, or maybe I'll just sit at home and watch it. I don't know. Anyway, I have to go now because my ear is hurting again. And I need to drink more whiskey. I'm finding the whiskey is really helping. Painkillers didn't help. Antibiotics haven't really helped. The whiskey has. Or maybe it's the combination of all of them. Whatever, all I can say is that if you do have an earache, maybe you should, you know, try all those things in tandem. Maybe I could get some more prescription drugs and non-prescription drugs as well. So if anybody has any non-prescription drugs, in particular if you've got some morphine that you're not using, feel free to send that along to me. I can always put it to good use, I promise. All right then, until next week's Arsecast, take it very, very easy indeed. Talk to you all next week on the blog. Bye-bye.
Oh, come on, son. Just wake up after you were brutally shot last week by that arse blog fella. Come on, son. Your mother misses you so much. Please wake up. Please. Dad. Oh, Dad, is that you? Oh, son, you're alive. I can't believe it. Oh, Jesus, it's fantastic. I just can't believe it. How are you, son? I'm all right, Dad. You know, a bit sore, but like, seriously, I think unless we get, like, a new winger or two and a striker and a central midfield player, we're really just going to have no chance of making any trophies next season. I mean, when you look at the squad, Dad, what are you doing with that pillow?
Ah, you made me do it, son. I had no choice. I had no choice.